Hey everybody, welcome to Declutter Me, a podcast about organizing and decluttering your life. Hello, Shalina.
Hi, Chirag.
How are you doing this week?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good as well. What do we have in store for our listeners today?
Today we're going to talk about Swedish death cleaning.
Yeah. I don't know how to react to that.
It's a concept that's been... I've discussed it with my parents, but it wasn't called Swedish death cleaning. It was just talking about getting rid of clutter before people die. But this lady called Margareta Magnusson wrote a book about it last year, and it's now become this buzzword. But and it's a good way to encompass what we're going to talk about today. So I am getting a lot of clients now who are from the older generation, my parents' generation, and they're realizing that they've got a lot of stuff. So especially in the UAE, they've lived here for 40 plus years, accumulated a lot of stuff, had children who accumulated a lot of stuff. A lot of these children love dumping their stuff in the house and then having another house with clutter as well. And it's getting a bit too much for them. So there's the normal feelings of feeling overwhelmed and stressed from clutter, but there's the other burden of realizing that they're getting closer to dying and they don't want their kids to deal with their stuff when they do pass away.
Right, so it's about the clutter that you kind of leave behind, I guess.
And I mean, the normal thing is that, you know, people pass away, whether it's, you know, from old age or it's sudden, you know, some young people, and then the people who are grieving have to deal with this stuff, and it's very difficult. You know, if you're, you know, we've all dealt with grief and having to deal with people's stuff, it's very hard. I had to deal with my uncle's stuff in Kenya with my mom, and because of my job, my business, my mom just said to me, I leave it with you to deal with it. She couldn't deal with it. And she said, if you find anything important, then show it to me. But if you think it's just scraps and just rubbish that can be thrown out, we'll do that. So we cleared up the house it's not a very big house, so luckily we could do it in 1 or 2 days. And we were able to clear a lot of it. She did do a lot of it after I left as well, because I had to leave. And it was hard because you're grieving. We've just done the funeral and then we're clearing up this stuff. Older generation are realizing that actually it would be better if they went through their own stuff. So, of course, that they get rid of stuff that they don't want their kids ever to find, because there is obviously things that old parents have that we shouldn't have to see ever. They're going to start decluttering that. And then they also start decluttering. They start realizing that they can get rid of a lot of things which have no use in their lives anymore. With working with clients, we've done a lot of books. You know, there's been a lot of especially fiction books that they're never going to read again, that don't have any significant value to their lives. They're not, you know, first editions or special books from their kids. And then they, you know, they find artwork that they never liked and their kids don't like, so they might as well sell it or get rid of it. Clothes is a big thing. Like, they'll get rid of the clothes that they don't fit, don't like, you know, or they can decipher which ones are, you know, especially designer pieces, which are vintage, that they can give to their kids or to their grandchildren or try and sell because their kids are never going to like it. So it's a good thing to start now. I think a lot of people are now seeing, especially living here, you know, a certain amount of time you can stay here if you're an expat and then you have to leave. So you have to start clearing up eventually, you know, and you don't want to do it all at the same time when you have to leave the country, because that is traumatic enough that you're leaving your home after like 40-50 years, as well as then decluttering. So it's good to start now.
And it's got the same problems that you would have when you're moving, or like just when we've discussed this on previous episodes, right? There are things that you have picked up and put aside and never looked at again, or forgotten that it exists, or and some of these things might even have value, but just because they've never come up, is not, you know, nobody knows them. So if people find out afterwards, they might toss something that's important. They could be, you know, I mean, they could make a different decision that you might not want. And
I mean, we all should do it anyway, but it's good to think about it now. And as you said, you know, with certain belongings, you know what the value of is, and some people don't. So there's ways to do this death cleaning, as they call it. I mean, it sounds morbid. And I remember I talked to my parents about it, because we've got a garage of stuff, which I talk about a lot, that has stuff from our childhood, from my before we were even born, my parents had bought stuff. Like, we have stuff from IKEA that they shipped over from Sweden before IKEA came to UK. If you can start chipping away at the stuff, it's good for everybody and it's good for you. It's a cathartic process as well to get, you know, to see what you have and to know what to get rid of and to not feel worry about what's going to happen to the stuff. And it's also good for your children, because when you pass away, they'll be already upset about that. You don't have to do it all in one go, but start chipping away. So start going through each cupboard one by one every week or every time you're passing, and you know, that place, your wardrobe, just start chipping away at everything. Begin with the things in storage or in the garage, or if you have an attic, go through them, because they're the ones that have been hidden for so long that you haven't looked at it, and you know, you can see if it's got value or not value and if it's worth throwing away. Because if it's been hidden for so long in these storage areas, that it's most probably not needed. Throw away anything that could be upsetting or hurtful or embarrassing. So you know, there will be things that parents have that we don't want to ever see, which was owned by them. Get rid of that now. Leave the photos and your journals and letters. Keep that for last, because that, or do that slowly, because that will take longer, because there'll be nostalgia in there. But start getting rid of the photos of people you don't know. If you don't know who they are, how do you expect your, you know, family to know who these people are? If it's got no significance to your life, get rid of it. If you know, like you said about the stuff, the belongings, that people might not know the value of it, but you do, get that and make a notice or a letter or put it in the will and say that this has this value, this needs to be dealt with in this way, this needs to go to someone. So allocate it to, you know, the fine china, to whoever's going to go get that stuff, the paintings, whatever you have that's of value, allocate it now, make a note of it so that it's easy to give it away. I've dealt with clients who have their grandparents have left, and one of them had all that medical equipment, and it was trying to figure out, like, the electronic stuff. Yeah. We then organize for it to go back to the hospital. Mm. Because they can reuse it again. But some of the medicine, if it had been opened, then you can't do anything once it's opened. But the ones that hadn't been used, we could donate it back to the health authority. Yeah. And then she had a lot of jalabiyas, you know, clothes. Yeah. And abayas. Yeah. We donated that to the prisons, because a lot of the women who go in don't have any clothes when they get arrested and be put in jail. So they get these jalabiyas, you know, to wear. So we gave a lot of that. So there's different ways you can deal with this stuff. And they were happy that, you know, the family were like, this is great that we're doing something for the community, helping other people with this.
Good stuff. Memory associated with, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, and another thing is, for this family and for a lot of families, Qurans, especially in this region, there are so many Qurans in houses. You're only supposed to have one or two. And I think it's for every religion. You're supposed to have one or two. And sometimes I have found about 50 of these. So then, you know, what do you do with them? You can't throw them away. You have to give them to an official authority. You're supposed to give them to a mosque. Or here, I give it to one of the charities and they take it and then donate it to people who need the books, you know, like refugees and stuff. So what I suggest to people is you start going through and seeing all these religious books as well. Do you need so many of them? Because most probably there is the favorite that your parents or grandparents have that they read all the time. The rest of them are just ones they've received as presents or as, you know, from mosques or temple that you don't need. So let's start getting rid of those as well. So that's the main things to do with this. It's a bit of a morbid subject, but really it's not. It's just being organized early on and to start thinking about it now. And because decluttering and organizing isn't a concept that was in the older generation's mindset, now it's a thing, but before it wasn't. So to start getting them to think about that, it would take longer, so it might be good to sort of start telling them now to get involved.
Yeah, and ideally as well, like, we, or our generation, so to speak, like, we're starting to think about it like more as a way of life and starting to do it more regularly, and, you know, trying to sort of, so ideally, you know, you know, whatever the future generations are, like, beyond us, will, you know, will not have to actually do these kind of morbid Swedish death sessions, right? Anyway, for me as well, like, this is just like a constant process. You have to keep doing it, because our tendency is always to go and pick up stuff. We get better about some things, but then the other things that we have, like, we can't get rid of it because we think that there's sentimental value sometimes where there isn't, and it takes us many years to realize, I'm like, oh, I've just kept this in a box here for no reason. And
I had a thought about it the other day that actually, you know, when we were born, it wasn't a consumer culture. It was the 80s.
No, but that's partly why, like, that generation didn't have to think so much about, like, or formally think about declaring and organizing. It's because we didn't have that kind of culture then. Yeah.
And then suddenly in the 80s, it became the consumer culture. We started buying stuff. We had, you know, it became the music generation. So we were buying Walkmans and cassettes and CDs. And then it was DVDs. So, yeah, so this is... this is just an overview about what the concept is, and to get people to start thinking about it, and to, you know, your parents or your grandparents, maybe don't call it Swedish death cleaning. Say to them, maybe we should start going through things and seeing what can go, what needs to be decluttered and organized, just to give them more space and to make them feel less overwhelmed, because there must be so much clutter in their houses, because especially if they've lived in the same house for many, many years.
Awesome. Well, as always, you can find more information about this show by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visiting declutterme.com/podcast.
And if you need help with starting the Swedish death cleaning, you can always contact me, and I'll be happy to help you and your family to start getting rid of the clutter in your life.
Somebody really needs to work on the branding of this of this concept.
No, Swedish is cool. Swedish is anything Scandinavian is cool.
Well, that's it for this episode, and we'll see you next week. Bye.